Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Wasn't it great having the kids help us there and be involved? Yes. All right. Welcome to Seven Oaks Church. If you're new visiting this morning, I just want to welcome you as well. My name's Jamie. I'm one of the pastoral team here, and we're just so glad that you're with us this morning. Before we dive too much into fall kickoff-related stuff, I thought what I'd do is just give you a little bit of a heads up of what's going to be happening Sunday mornings for this season, and then I'm going to talk a bit about what I'm here to talk about. And you know, I have so much to tell you. I wish I did really have 4 hours, but I think you'd walk out on me. Or at least the children's ministry volunteers would come and drag me off the stage or something. But I have so much to tell you, and I didn't want this to be a big infomercial, because that's not what what this is all about. And so what I'm going to do is spend the first half talking about our vision and preaching to you about our vision and how it connects to things like Alpha that you just saw there. And then the second half is going to be a little bit more informational, because there's some things that you really need to know and I really want to share with you. So that's what we'll be doing this morning. For Sunday mornings, starting next week, we're going to begin a brand new teaching series called Gospel. And you know, we preach the gospel all the time, and we preach elements of the gospel all the time. But I don't recall ever spending, you know, 6 or 7 weeks on the gospel. I'm not talking about a gospel, I'm talking about the gospel. So we're going to do that over the next little while. It'll take us through September and October. And we're going to try to answer the question, what even is the gospel? We might think that we know that that's an easy answer, but sometimes it isn't as easy as we think. And then we're going to explore the various chapters of the gospel, the parts of the gospel, and what it's all about. So we'll be doing that through October. And then in November, we're actually going to take the entire month, and we're calling it Missions Month. So we, in that time, will the Cuba team will have gone and come back, and so they'll be sharing with us. And we also have various other missionaries in residence here who are going to be sharing during that time as well. So we're really looking forward to Missions Month. We won't have a typical missions evening like we normally do because of the focus on Sunday mornings. And then that'll give way to December, where we look at Advent and we'll have the kids doing a service. And of course, I don't know if you realize, but Christmas Day is a Sunday this year. So that means that I'm going to be preaching Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. I'm going to be busy this Christmas, but it's okay because I'm excited. It's going to be good. And then as we get into the new year, I'll tell you more nearer the time, but we're actually going to get into the Old Testament a bit and then back into the new in the spring. So that's a little bit of a taste of where we're going. This morning, as Matthew already mentioned, is all about sort of kicking off in as far as churches typically have the same ministry year as the schools, September to June, and then things in July and August kind of slow down and ministries take a break and so on. And then we sort of kick off again in the fall. So this is a great time for me to kind of talk with you and reflect a little bit on where we've been, what we're about, and where we want to go. So I'm going to talk to you about three major things today. Firstly, our vision. We're talking about that and connecting it to Alpha. And then after that, I want to share with you a couple of significant ministry changes that are happening this year that I think you need to hear about. And then thirdly, I'm going to finish up by giving you a bit of an update on the building. You've all seen the big shrink wrap around the youth center. We're going to talk about what's going on behind there and have some pictures to show you too and update the numbers. So we'll be doing that towards the end. So firstly, our vision. If you are really brand new here, you may not have heard our vision before, but I imagine even fairly new people probably know what it is, because we mention it from the front so often. And it's often up on slides like that, or it's in publications that we have. And the reason is we want it to get under the skin of one another. We want it to become part of who we are, directional, leading us. So it is to know Jesus and to make him known. That's our statement of vision these days. The 1980s and 1990s, it was big and popular for corporations and churches to write these big statements of mission and vision and our 12 values and have them put in plaques and put them on walls and so on. And so we did the same. Back in those days, we had this big statement of vision and values and mission. And it used to hang on my wall in my office. It's not there anymore. But quite frankly, I'm not sure I'd be able to remember all of what it said. And for me, it was too wordy and complex. It was too long. It's not to say it was bad. It was all the rage in the 80s and 90s, and it was, I'm sure, helpful at the time. But as time has moved on and we've moved into new decades, corporations have actually simplified profoundly. If you think about the Apple Corporation for a moment, if I imagine most of us, probably all of us in the room, if we saw a computer screen with a slate gray sort of background and no words on it except an image of an apple with a bite taken out of it in the middle, we'd probably all instantly recognize, well, that's Apple, the maker of iPhones and iMacs and so on. When the internet was first getting popular, they used to have these really busy and complex websites, and you still find them around with so much information on them. But if you think about what I would argue is probably the most widely known and recognizable website on the internet, the Google site, it is just the word Google in their corporate colors with a search bar and a blank white screen. It is simple, it is uncluttered, it is memorable and instantly recognizable. And there's a lot of purpose behind it being so simple. So we at Seven Oaks moved away from the long statement of vision and mission and values. And under Pastor Errol, our previous lead pastor, we moved into a vision where it was simply four words: discover, connect, follow, and reach. And some of you will remember that. And then also under his leadership, we went from four words to three words, even simpler: mending, sending, and maturing. And then since I've been here as the lead pastor, our team worked hard on a new statement of vision, which is more words, but instead of four parts or three parts, there's still just two parts now. It's gone even simpler. There's two parts to it. It's all about knowing Jesus and making him known. Simple, memorable, repeatable, catchy. And I'm not saying this to kind of pat ourselves on the back and say, didn't we do a good thing? But rather just to remind you about how simple our vision is, purposely uncluttered and simple, so that we can hold it up as a directional statement of a preferred future that we want to get to and that we're directing ourselves towards. A simple tagline, a quick way to assess where we're at, an easy way to mobilize ourselves behind. Another thing I love about our vision is it's so Jesus-centered. It's all about Jesus. To know Jesus and to make Jesus known, it's all about Jesus. Because this is his church. And we must never forget that. It's not my church. It's not our elders' church. It's not the Alliance's church. It's not your church. This is Jesus' church. And we serve and lead under the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. Another thing I love about it is actually it is profoundly in touch with our tradition, the Alliance. The Alliance has always been about the deeper life and missions. It's been about knowing Jesus and making him known. So it's a fresh expression of our Alliance doctrine. So we're going to take a really brief look at a couple of key verses that inform our vision here. Coming up on the screen for you is John 17:3. And this is eternal life. We better listen because Jesus is speaking and he's defining eternal life for us. And this is eternal life, says Jesus, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is eternal life, to know Jesus and not know about Jesus and not know about God and not know about the Bible. That's not all that impressive, but to know him in a deep way, an intimate way, to have your life shaped and transformed by him, to bask in his love and to respond in loving him. It's to know Jesus, to love him and make him known. Thomas Ashbrook, in his book, Mansions of the Heart, goes after three myths that he says lead us along wrong paths when it comes to growth. He says that there is the holiness goal, the people that think the whole goal of spiritual growth is about becoming holier. There's the wholeness goal, that the whole goal of spiritual growth is that we become more whole, physically, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually whole. Or the usefulness goal, the Martha goal, that it's all about serving him more and doing more for Jesus. He goes after these three goals of spiritual growth and says they're actually dead ends. There's nothing wrong with them per se. I mean, we do want to become more holy as God is holy, right? We should want to serve him and his church. We should want to become more whole where there is brokenness in our lives and be knit back together. There's nothing wrong with them. It's just when they become the driving thing, they kind of lead us along wrong paths. Why? Well, he argues in his book These are all about us. They're all about trying a little bit harder. And he argues that we'll never reach perfect holiness and wholeness and usefulness this side of eternity anyway. And they're all about doing a little bit more. Rather, he argues, the goal of spiritual growth is a love relationship with God. A quick scan of the scriptures, he says, tells us this incredibly important yet often forgotten truth. God created us and redeemed us and leads us and will consummate all things. Why? Because he loves us. And that love relationship with God is foundational to our Old Testament story, from creation to Moses to covenant, through the prophets and Psalms, into the New Testament with Jesus and disciples and so forth. For God so loved the world. The greatest commandment is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. The ultimate goal for us then is to live freely and bask in the love of God for us and to respond to that love by loving him back. Those other things are important. But they ought to come from this essential truth rather than this essential truth come from them. So as we love God and as we come to know Jesus more, yes, we should want to become more holy. Yes, we should want to serve him more, absolutely. Yes, we should want to grow in wholeness, and his spirit at work in us will enable us to do that. It's just they're not the ultimate goal. So in John 17 that we just read, we're told that eternal life is to know him. So our vision is that we would increasingly become a people here at Seven Oaks Alliance Church that seeks to know Jesus in a deeper way. And we preach that all the time. Back in June, we preach about the spiritual disciplines, giving one another tools to grow in our spiritual life. We talk about that all the time. We pray for that. We try to create ministries and spaces that can help that to happen. We try to align our ministries with that goal. And out of that posture then will flow the second part of the vision, which is to make Jesus known. The end of the Gospel of Matthew coming up on your screens for you. Jesus says, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore." It's active. "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and I'll be with you always to the end of the age." So the second part of our vision, church family, is to encourage each other to be faithful witnesses of the gospel to our neighbors and to our family members and to our co-workers and so on. And so this time last year, we preached a sermon called Finding God on Monday. Don't just be a Sunday Christian, but rather find God on Monday and seek to serve him and reach out where you're planted in life in your sphere of influence. And almost every Sunday, often Matthew says that actually, often we say, you know, we've been the scattered church out there in the city and beyond, and now we're the gathered church and we're going to worship together. But at the end of the service, we're going out to be scattered again. We have a role to play to make Jesus known out there, to know him, to make him known. It's our vision. It's where we're going. It's what makes us tick around here. So on that note, church family, as you know, we are relaunching the Alpha Initiative here at Seven Oaks. And you know, we've been talking about it all summer. I've shown you a number of videos, tried to remind you about it, talking about inviting and so on. And this is not the only way to make Jesus known. Of course it isn't. But it is one more thing that we're seeking to do to help us with this vision. We need to continue to sharpen what we do in order to move towards this preferred future of who we want to be and where we want to go. So Alpha is all about creating a safe space for people to come and eat, because people will open up and build friendships around the table more than they will in a lecture hall. And then there's a presentation, 20, 25-minute presentation, and then there's discussion, where we don't come with a list of pre-cooked answers and try to just make everybody believe everything we believe on the first night. That's not the point. It's a space to allow people to honestly wrestle with what they believe and to respect what they believe and trust that the Holy Spirit will move them as we move through the weeks, because the presentation of the gospel is right there in the Alpha program. And many, many people, God has used this incredibly over the years as evangelism has had to change, as culture has changed. And this is one way in which we do that. So what am I asking of you? Well, some of you are already serving, and we had our Alpha training, which was great the other night. What am I asking about the wider body? Well, church, we need to invite people. And so last Sunday, we talked about how there was a bunch of postcards there at the Welcome Center. I think most of them went, actually, which was fantastic. It means you took them. There's more. We refilled it. And actually, our ushers are going to be standing at the door with some if you want to grab one from an usher on the way out before you go to eat. On there is the information about it. We're encouraging you to grab those invitations and be bold enough to go and invite people to come and bring them with you if you need to come with them. So one way is to invite. And all the information is on the back that you need. The second thing is we need you to pray. We purposely chose Tuesday nights because in the other room from where we'll be, in the community room, we already have a group of people who pray from 7 to 8 every Tuesday night. And I'm going to be asking them to be praying for what's going on in this room, why it's happening. And so maybe you want to go and join them on Tuesday nights in the community room, park this side in between the school, and come in the community room entrance this side. And pray with them for what's going on in Alpha. If you absolutely cannot make it, maybe you can pray from home, or maybe you're at work on Tuesday and you have an hour break and think, you know what, I can take half an hour of my break and go and pray for what's going to happen tonight. So would you commit to praying for our Alpha course? Because we are asking the Lord that this would be fruitful this year. That's another way in which we seek to make Jesus known. All right, so that's our vision, church family. I wanted to remind you this morning as we move into the fall. It's our vision. It's what we're about. This is one way in which we're seeking to further express it. I want to take a bit of time now, church family, to bring you in the loop of a few changes. So we're making a couple of significant ministry changes this year. And rather than you just finding out, oh, we're not doing this in the bulletin, I wanted to explain it to you so you understand. Many people serve in ministries for years, and it becomes such an important ministry for them, and they love it so much, and it's so valuable. And if leadership just all of a sudden stop it without giving any reason, then that can be hurtful. So I don't want to do that. So we're going to explain to you what we're doing and exactly why we're doing it. Sometimes with ministries, even ministries that are going really well, we have to change because of a leadership vacuum, or because of a vision change, or because we decide we want to redirect our efforts somewhere else, and simply we can't do everything. So some ministries, they just run their course, and it's time to move on and change. It doesn't mean that that ministry wasn't good. So let me share a couple of things with you here. For some 20 years now, we did a little bit of history to make sure I had this right. For some 20 years now, we've done a twice-yearly clothing giveaway in the fall and in the spring called Clothesline. And I found out that it was started by Rita LaHaven, one of our pastors in the past. And she began it in 1996. We've been doing this for 20 years. Twice a year, I think every year, which would be 40 Clothesline, which is absolutely phenomenal. It has been a significant ministry of mercy and helps. We have helped to clothe people in need, and it has been fantastic. It has also communicated to the city that we care and we love, and it's practical ministry and expresses the love of Jesus. So what I'd just like to ask you to do, if you've had any involvement over the 20 years in Clothesline, even if all you've done is on the Sunday before help to throw the clothes down from the balcony in the youth center, I'm just going to ask you to stand for a second. Would you stand, please, if you've had any involvement in Clothesline? Look at that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I just want to say thank you for putting in the hours you have, for serving Jesus in that way, for serving our community in that way. It has been a wonderful ministry, so thank you. This is one of the ministries, I'm sure you've guessed by now, that we are actually going to discontinue at this point. However, we will not be carrying on with Clothesline, and I'm going to give you the reason, at least in its current format anyway. One of the reasons, church family, is that we're undertaking a significant renovation. And so that area of storage in the balcony is no longer available to storage. And even once it's complete, it won't be available again because we're opening up for ministry use. So we won't be able to do it from a storage perspective, and that's one reason, it's not the only reason, but that's part of what prompted us to start rethinking Clothesline. Another reason is that the past few years, the one in October has actually happened within a week or two of Abbotsford Connect, which is another ministry of helps, which includes a clothing portion. And so over the years, we've kind of thought, well, we're duplicating a little bit here, and rather than putting in so much effort, needing so many volunteers to do both, maybe it would be better to bring the one to an end and still be able to bring the clothing aspect into Abbotsford Connect. So that's another reason. And thirdly, as we've assessed it and been careful to look into this, we do know that there are still plenty of other clothing options in town, meaning that people who have accessed Clothesline will not be sold short at this point. There's plenty of other options that we can direct people to who call in or who come in into the church. So there are other clothing options in town. So for those main reasons and a few others, we have decided to discontinue Clothesline for now. It's had a great run, but it's a season of change, and so we are going to do that, and there's only so many volunteers, right? We can't just keep adding and adding and adding Alpha and Adopt a School and this and this and this, and then expect there always to be so many volunteers. So please hear me, church family. If Clothesline has been dear to you, we have appreciated it greatly. We know it's been used wonderfully, but we sense it's time for change. We're providing clothing for people may, and I do say may, be rebirthed among us, is in our Adopt a School program. So quite possibly, we may do some kind of mobile clothesline at the two schools that we have adopted, potentially. But we want the school district to tell us that that's what they want and that is needed. Otherwise, we're just forcing something on them they don't want. So we will probe that and see if that happens. It may or may not, but that's something for the future. But I wanted you to hear from me the reasons why we're bringing Clothesline to an end at this point. For a number of years as well, we have hosted a turkey dinner on Christmas Day with all the trimmings in our gym called A Place to Call Home. And this is too has been a wonderful ministry, and me and my whole family, my kids were involved a couple of years ago and loved being involved. It's been a great ministry for those who, you know, just find themselves on their own and want to have Christmas dinner with others, and also for those who have found themselves struggling financially or maybe have even found themselves on the street and have been able to come and eat as well. So wonderful reasons that we have done that. This is another reason this is another ministry that we're bringing to a close. But before I talk to you about that, again, if you've been involved in A Place to Call Home, would you stand for a moment? I know we've had many key leaders in that ministry. Look at that again. Like, that's a lot of people. Thank you again for giving up time on your Christmas Day to serve us in that way. Both of these ministries have been wonderful, and we are so grateful for your support and your service over the years. We have decided to discontinue A Place to Call Home. I'll give you the reasons in a second. But we are actually going to kind of rebirth and redirect this ministry, and we'll get to that in a minute too. So the reasons. A Place to Call Home over the last number of years has been led by Larry and Wilma Preeb. And of course, you know that Wilma retired this year, and we haven't yet replaced that position. And so there is a significant leadership vacuum for A Place to Call Home. So that's one of the reasons we've started talking about that too. Another reason, though, is that A Place to Call Home has drifted somewhat from its original intent, which is not a bad thing by any means, but it's a thing, and we want to redirect it a little. Over the years, it has morphed from that ministry to people who are on their own into a ministry for the homeless and the poor, which is great, neither one of those is a bad thing, but it's kind of become a bit confused in its focus, I believe. One thing we've also noticed is that a number of our homeless friends who we serve here on Christmas Day, after they've had dinner there, they'll often go down to another church and there's another dinner available for them. So we've kind of wondered, well, maybe we're duplicating something that doesn't need to be duplicated if there's another church in town doing a Christmas meal that we can direct them to. So that was another reason that we were talking about that. So this year, we're not going to be running a Christmas meal in our gym on Christmas Day. Instead, we're going to redirect the ministry in two ways. Firstly, what we're going to be asking you, the church family, to do is to consider creating an extra seat or two at your Christmas dinner table to invite people within the church family who are on their own. And maybe they have family all over on the east side of the country and they're just going to be alone on Christmas Day, or maybe there's a whole host of reasons they might be alone. And so maybe you're sitting there thinking, you know what, we have 30 family members over on Christmas Day. There's no way we could do it. Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be Christmas Day. It could be Christmas Eve or another day during the Christmas week. But we'll talk more about that nearer the time. But what we're looking to do is to express hospitality, the gift of hospitality, and get it back to that kind of family-oriented thing where those of us who are alone on Christmas can come and join another family. So we will help to facilitate that as we get nearer the time. The other way we're going to redirect it is we still are very passionate about feeding people who are hungry. We still want to help people in that way. So what we're going to do is actually redirect that meal back into our Adopt-a-School program. So you may remember back in June that we did a couple of spaghetti dinners for our adopted schools. You remember that? Well, we're going to do some form of meal for adopted schools around that time again for families that have need. And so it possibly will be November. It might be January. In talking to the school district, they've said, you know what? There's actually a lot of help in December. We have a ton of help in December, but January is a tough month, and November can be a tough month. So we're going to pick one of those months and redirect the meal portion into that ministry. So you'll hear more about that as well. So those are the two major ministry changes. If you have any questions, feel free to come and talk to myself or Kent or any of the other pastors we can talk to you about if you have any questions about that. But we wanted you to hear from us why we're doing what we're doing and help you to understand that. Very briefly, church family, one new thing that we're going to be doing, and we're really excited about this, is that we want to up our sense of care for those who are bereaved. Historically, over the last number of years, what we've done is those people that have lost someone during the year, we've had somebody visit and take a small gift to say, you know, we know you lost so-and-so in March. We haven't forgotten. We're still praying for you. First Christmas is hard. What we'd like to do instead of that is we're actually going to host, probably at the end of November, before it gets too busy at Christmas time, an evening grief service where we're going to have music and readings and prayer and connecting opportunities for those who are bereaved. And what we really like about this is that we're going to widen it not only to people who have lost somebody this past year, but maybe you lost someone 2 years ago or 5 years ago and it's still really hard, or 8 years ago. And so we're going to invite you also to come to that space, a service of remembrance, a service of prayer, ministry, and people in the room together who are going through a similar thing and can perhaps foster that family connection to support one another. So that's another way in which we're seeking to love one another. And it fits our vision, church, because you come to know Jesus in different ways. And one of the ways you come to know Jesus is as Jesus the Comforter. You come to know him through your grief. And Jesus can become very real to you at that time. So we'll give you more information as we get closer to that time. All right, I want to move into the third and final. I know I've been giving you a lot of information this morning, but I want to close this morning by talking to you about our building project. So you have likely seen the scaffolding go up and the white sheeting go around, but you don't know what's going on behind there. So I'm going to give you a little bit of an update where we're going with that. There's going to be some pictures coming up so you can see as I talk, and then I'm going to bring you a financial update as to where we are. So Tony, you can just roll the pictures whenever you're ready. So we've had, the scaffolding has gone up, and we've had an abatement crew, a tear-off crew, working on tearing the old roof off bit by bit. And as they've been tearing it off, they've been waterproofing as they go, which is good because we've had some rain. And so you can see it there. That's the new waterproof vapor barrier on the roof, and that's the part that's not yet done. As of a week or so ago, we were about two-thirds of the way over that. We're perhaps closer to three-quarters now. So they're moving, and it's great. We're almost at tear-off point, which is fantastic. It's taken a little longer than we expected. The scaffolding took a bit longer to go up, but that's okay. Following that, we are going to have the building crew then, the roofing crew, come and follow behind, and they're going to be putting on the new membrane and insulation and that whole insulation piece. So that's coming. In fact, on Wednesday, we're having a big truck arrive with a crane and the membrane's coming, and so it's going to be exciting to see that arrive. So they're making progress, church family. This next part is going to take a long time. They're talking about probably well into November, maybe even December before it's completed. It is that complex a roof. So it's going to take a while, but that's all right. And of course, the weather's either going to slow it down or speed it up, but probably slow it down. At least not this next week, anyway. So just want you to know where we're at with that. It is progressing. As far as the interior of the youth center goes, we have raised more than we need for the roof, and I'll get to the numbers in a minute, which means we have some available to start the interior renovation of the youth center. Now, we don't have all the money, so we can't just go and start ripping everything apart in there and doing it all, because that would disrupt ministries if we ripped it all apart and then we had to wait 6 months and it disrupts ministry, right? So what we're going to be doing is working with our contractor and talking about priorities, and we have this amount of money, what can we do for that? And maybe the washrooms could get done, or maybe the balcony could get done, or maybe the lobby, or whatever. So we're going to start that conversation and start heading down that road as we see how much money we have exactly for that portion. And we'll keep you updated. I don't know how much you'll get done this year, but we'll certainly keep you in the loop. So the youth center remains open. We still use it. They've been carefully monitoring dust and things like that, and it's all healthy and good. So we can continue to use it. All right, let me close up here by bringing you a financial update. If you can just bring the first line up there, Tony. Just to remind you, church family, you may or may not remember this, we didn't begin at zero. We began with $215,000 for this project. Part of that was a bequest that was left by a dear saint, a lady that passed away, and left us a significant amount of money. And also some funds that we had invested from the sale of the missionary house that we used to own. So we have 215,000 seed money, which is fantastic. Great start. In addition, you may remember that I taught you about if we can raise 250,000 by last weekend, Labor Day, that it would be matched dollar for dollar by some donors in our church. So I've got the number for you. You ready? It's a good number. You can bring the next one up. $306,323. Isn't that fantastic? Wonderful. Just so you know, it was from kind of our AGM to last Sunday. So we already had about 30,000 of that, but still, that meant 276 we made. We needed 250 and we got to 276. So that is wonderful. So let me say to you, to us, thank you. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for believing in the future of this church and our vision. We love you and appreciate you. So thank you very much, church family. That means that the matching funds will be coming in, which is the next line. Another 250,000, which brings us to 771,323 in money, actual cash that we have in our bank for the renovation. Isn't that incredible? It's absolutely wonderful. So thank you to you, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Lord, for your provision. Now, some of you actually filled out cards and actually made some pledges. So you didn't actually give the money, but you made pledges and say, you know, I'm going to give this amount per month over next year or however you did it. So in addition, we have a further $99,000 that's been pledged to us, which isn't in, but it's been pledged. And if all of that comes in, that'll bring us to, what is it, 870,323, 30 grand off of 900,000. That is absolutely wonderful. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, church family. The budget for the goal of the budget is just a little over 1.3 million. So we are so far along the road with that. We've come so far only since May. It's incredible. So thank you again. Let me close in just saying, church family, another neat thing is that sometimes when churches do things like this, sometimes we do, instead of giving to the general fund, we just write a check to the building fund, which is great for the building fund, but not so good for the general fund. And that means that we can't fund ministries and we can't pay our staff and we can't pay the lights and all those kinds of things. That hasn't really happened very much maybe a little bit, but not very much. So you've continued, so this is above and beyond. So thank you. What I'd like to just communicate to you, though, as we enter into the last quarter of the year, October to December, we feel in talking to our finance people, our treasurer and so on, that we ought to maybe just cool the jets a little bit on the building just to make sure that we focus on the general fund, finish in the black or as close to the black as we can, since the roof is paid for, so we know that that's paid for and done. And then in January, we can sort of start a bit of a strategy then for further fundraising to the building. You can still give to the building, and please do. But let us just make sure we keep an eye on the general fund too. So thank you. Isn't that good news? Yes. Wonderful. Matthew, do you want to come up? The band are coming back up, church family. I wasn't 4 hours, but I was probably a little while, so maybe getting hungry, I don't know. But just to recap, vision, people, what we're all about is knowing Jesus and making him known. Alpha is another way for us to express that vision. Some ministry changes, needed ministry changes, some rationale, some future things that we're starting. The building is progressing. God is providing. I believe we're in a good state, church family, and we're moving forward, and God is good. We're going to sing together as we close out this morning, and then I'm going to come up and I'm going to pray for the food, and we can go and share lunch together.